Wow, that was really good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight for the privilege we have to know Jesus Christ, and the privilege we have to be in this special, unique, and privileged relationship with you. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, tonight that we do not have to live a life of regrets. But oh God, we just ask you, we just ask you that you would open our eyes this evening, that you would sober our hearts, that you'd grab our attention, that you'd help us to see, Lord, how easy it is to waste our lives. Help us to see, Lord, how easy it is to get entangled in sin and selfishness and become deceived and deluded and miss the life that you have for each and every one of your children. I ask you, Father, tonight that you'd give us a spiritual desperation. I ask you, Lord, you'd help us to understand this evening that we see the world through spiritual eyes. And everywhere we look in our world right now, Lord, there is turmoil. Our nation is being ripped apart. Our world is being ripped apart. Our economy is going to fall. All around the world, Lord, we see tremendous turmoil. And there is only one solution and only one hope that we have, and that's trust and reliance on the living God. Or we will lose our minds. There is so much strain, so much stress, so much lies and deception. Our system is built on corrupt principles, and they are going to crumble. And the only person in this world and the only people in this world that have a chance at survival is the man and woman who makes the Lord God their trust and their confidence. Father, we just pray tonight for our world. My goodness, Lord, whether we go to the Ukraine, whether we go to Israel tonight, whether we go to our own nation or Sudan or Africa or Iran or Iraq, whether we go, Lord, to Central America or all throughout Latin America, Father, the needs are overwhelming. And you are the solution. You are the hope of the world. We ask you tonight, Lord, speak to our heart. Help us in this moment tonight. We only have a few moments tonight together, Lord. We pray that you just reach down and touch our heart and touch our mind. In Jesus' name, amen. The most significant process of the Christian life, the single most important process in your life, is learning to trust God. And no matter who you are, whether it's me following Christ now for 40 years, or whether it's you, maybe just a couple of weeks, I met with a young man this week who's only been following the Lord less than 10 months. We must grow and develop our trust in God. Trust in God is a way of life, and it must become our way of life. And if it does not become our way of life, what inevitably happens is trouble. Because problems are going to come in our life, and they're going to bring about emotional stress, mental stress. And for the man or woman that does not learn how to trust God, how to rely on God, it's going to break you down. It's going to break down your personal health and your vitality and your vigor. And what you're going to end up doing is placing your trust in human beings and in yourself and in your own strength. And we're going to talk a little bit about this tonight, what it means to trust God, and what is the most important reason to trust God. Why should I trust God? I'd like to read a passage to you this evening. It has been a life passage for me. I read it in the first week that I began following Christ when I was 19. It's found in the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah was so significant in my life that I named my son, who was just singing, Jeremy. That's how significant the book of Jeremiah has been in my life. And in chapter 17, verse 5, we find this. This is what God says. Cursed, afflicted, and tormented are those who put their trust in mere humans and turn their back away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness on the salty flats where no one lives at all. But blessed and fortunate and happy are those who trust in the Lord and who have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted by the riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by the long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they go right on producing delicious fruit. This passage is spoken to me many, many times. Because as you learn, when you begin following Jesus Christ, trusting God is not a one-time thing. Salvation is a one-time thing. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, He immediately comes and lives inside of us. He, in a moment, regenerates us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And He changes us and we're born again and it's permanent. It's a condition that is permanent. But trusting God on a day-to-day basis is not a permanent condition. It's one that you and I have to develop. We have to go back to over and over and over and over and over again. If we don't, we will find ourselves quite tormented, which is what the word cursed means. Quite afflicted of spirit and soul. And we will find that our growth is stunted. We will find that all of a sudden we look out at our life and our world and we have no hope. We just have no hope. We'll live a lonely life. We'll feel alone. That's what it means when it says they live in a barren wilderness on the salty flats where no one lives. But conversely, the person who trusts God, which means to rely on God, to put your confidence in God and make Him your hope, you'll be like a tree planted by the river of water and you won't be bothered. In other words, you're going to go through difficult times. And you're going to go through long months of drought where outwardly, circumstantially, it's going to feel sometimes, to be really honest, like the blessing of God has left you. It hasn't, but it's going to feel that way. It's going to look that way. It's going to appear that way. Right now, it certainly does not appear that Israel is the chosen people of God, but they are. In Sudan, it does not appear that the believers, the Christians, are the chosen people of God, but they are. In Iran, in Iraq, right now, in Syria, almost every single Christian has either been wiped out or fled the country because of killing them. And recently in Iraq, the ISIS, whatever they're called, began painting red on all the doors of known Christians. And they've given them three options: pay the tax, convert to Islam, leave early, there's four, we'll kill you. And really, the few Iraqi Christians that are left know they're probably going to be killed. Even in our own country, we find that being a Christian, being a Christ follower, is no longer really seen as a positive thing. Our nation, is more divided than at any time in the history of this nation since it was founded. And we are divided morally. We are divided between those who want to side on the side of God's laws. They may not all be Christians, but they favor a biblical morality. And those who defy a biblical morality and do not want to honor God. And it's that simple. What brought our nation together was a common belief in biblical law. And it was codified in our courts and in our justice system. That has been shattered, ripped asunder. But it goes deeper than that. There is a hostility, an open hostility to Christianity, to Christ. This man of peace, you understand? They crucified him when he was here. And now that he lives in you and I, they are as much against him as they ever were. That's the way it is. If you and I are living for Christ, our life is this fragrant aroma of Christ, but the stench of death to those who are rebelling against God, but we are the fragrant aroma of life to those who are interested, who have a desire and are have a spiritual hunger. I know many of you are going through, and I've been sharing this the last couple of months, but I just keep getting one email after another, going through some very significantly difficult things. And as I shared last week, God is always on the job, and that's partly why I shared it, and this is a continuation of that. God is always on the job of your life. He's constantly watching over you. He does not take a break. He does not get bored. He does not get distracted. He does not get weary. He doesn't fall asleep. He's watching and he's actively working in your life. But he's also, and this is very important to understand, God is going to allow you and I, in order to grow our trust in God, he's going to test us. I don't mean in a sadistic way. I don't mean in an unloving way. I mean trials and circumstances are going to come in our life in which we have to make a choice. I'm going to trust God or I'm not going to. I'm going to turn away from God. And sometimes when we turn away from God, we trust ourselves. But sometimes we turn away from God and we get resentful and we get bitter and we get frustrated and exasperated that God isn't doing exactly what I want right now. But at the same time, some of us, maybe all of us at times in our life, we struggle with our trust in God because we forget one vital thing. The greatest reason for trusting God, the reason that fills us with confidence, is that knowledge that our God is not a God of mere words. Our God is not a God of empty promises. Our God is a God of action. Our God answers us with awesome deeds. And I was thinking about this last couple of weeks. This thought just been going through my mind over and over. We're going to look at a scripture in a moment in Psalms chapter 65, verse 5. But our God answers our prayers with awesome deeds, not more words. Many of us in this room, and I'm one of them, we had someone very significant in our life who told us, I'll always be there for you, I love you, and they lied. They didn't follow through on their words. We live in a world today, politicians make all kinds of big promises. You put them in office, they lie. They don't follow through. They don't do what they said they were going to do. So many fathers, so many husbands have lied to the woman they stood in front of and said, I do, in sickness and health, I'll love you. They have no actions to match their empty words. And we're used to that. We're used to that. And so we place that upon God. God does not make empty promises. God doesn't just feed us on words. God comes through. God answers us with awesome deeds. And that's the kind of God we have. At the same time, we have to understand that though God is always on the job, He doesn't just make nice promises. He's a God of action. In fact, you know, I think of God as the ultimate supernatural superhero. He's the only one. All the rest are just movies. They're movies. All the idols of the world, all the idols of the world are idols. They're dumb, stupid pieces of wood or stone. That's all they are. But our God lives. Our God spoke the world into being. Our God parted the Red Sea. Our God conquered death. Our God sees you, lives in you, cares about you, watches over you. And it's only a matter of time, as you and I trust Him, that He'll answer you with awesome deeds. This verse gave me much comfort yesterday. I was reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. I think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble that we had in the province of Asia. We were crushed. This is the Apostle Paul writing, right? So you think those Christians, they never get overwhelmed. We were crushed and completely overwhelmed. And we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we learned not to rely on ourselves, but on God who can raise the dead. And He did deliver us from mortal danger. And we are confident that He will continue to deliver us again and again. He will rescue us because you are helping us by praying for us. You know, I was sharing with you last week a little bit. I won't go into this tonight about my daughter and all this. It's almost the 7 years she was sick, and it was horrific, just horrific. And so many of you prayed for her, and God just answered us with awesome deeds. And 4 years went by, and she's running, and she's lifting, and she. I mean, it's just amazing, really, to watch what happened. She got married last November 2nd, and 3 months later, bam, on a Saturday morning, got slammed into by a drunk driver. And it's kind of set in motion a whole number of things. And I remember thinking to God, I just said, Lord, not again. No, you can't, no! Of course, I'm powerless. No! Do not do this again! And I was so humbled. I was so humbled. The Scripture will speak to your life. This book is so powerful. And I thought, wait a minute. Here's Paul. Paul's in this really bad situation. He's overwhelmed. He's crushed. He thinks he's going to die. In fact, he expects to die. It's bad. And he said, and God delivered us. And now I'm in a situation again, Paul is saying. And He's got to deliver me again. In fact, Paul faced death and crushing circumstances, not just once, not just twice, not just three times, but multiple times in his life. And I got to admit, you know, if you think about this for a moment, imagine for a moment you have cancer. You have cancer. And you go through all the chemo, right? You go all through all the chemo. You even get a few body parts extracted. And you lose all your hair. And you're throwing up every morning. And it lasts 2 years. And you get the good news. It's all in remission. It's all. You face death. You stare death in the eye. You thought you were going to die. And friends are praying for you. And you've been raised up. And you're going on with your life. And 4 years later, there it is again. And you're going through the chemo again. And you lose your hair again. This time only a year. And then it goes into remission. And you're building your life back and you're getting your strength back and you're walking and you're going back to work and 6 years go by and bam, there it is again. I'm just being very frank with you. That is what following Christ is going to feel like. And for you, it may be financial, it may be your health, it may be inner things, it may be family things, it may be difficulties, it may be job things. But if you follow Jesus Christ, if you're going to go after God, first, we're in a great spiritual battle. There's a great enemy that's against us. The world is against us. The world hates your guts. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. You're going to claim the name of Christ. If you're going to love Him, if you're going to live as He lived, an upright, holy, moral, righteous, loving life, There was no man that ever lived. You know, sometimes people think to themselves, oh, if the Christians were all just so loving, the world would love us, really. Are you that stupid? Do you think you could possibly live more lovingly than Jesus Christ? You think you could live a more holy, more godly, more patient, more winsome life than Jesus? What'd they do to him? They killed him. The crowds roared for his blood. It wasn't just a few priests. The crowds turned on him. The crowds, he healed them. He fed them. Kill them! They killed him. That's the kind of world you and I live in. We sang tonight Everything. And I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about this. Do you really mean that song? Do you really want that song? That's the joy life, you see. That's the life of really trusting God. But it comes at a price. The world won't like you. And I've just got to be honest with you. I learned a long time ago, I don't care. Who cares? Who cares? You know what Jesus said? Woe to you. Woe to you when all men speak well of you. For so they spoke of the false prophets. So we're going to find out. But you see, the beauty of this is that God over and over and over and over and over again delivered Paul. He delivered him. Paul says in Timothy, he said, in my first defense, no one stood with me, but all were against me. But God was faithful and delivered me from the mouth of the lion, using, of course, the allegory or the picture that many of his listeners would have known of Daniel in the Old Testament, who was delivered, by the way, from the Persian king, which is modern-day Iraq. I stood in Berlin in the museum on what's known as the Wall of Daniel, the Wall of Nebuchadnezzar, the very wall that Daniel would have paced probably at night as he was one of Nebuchadnezzar's rulers. In Psalms, verse 65, we find this passage. You faithfully answer our prayers with awesome deeds, O God, our Savior. You are the hope of everyone on earth, even those who sail on distant seas. You form the mountains by your power. You armed yourself with mighty strength. You quiet the raging oceans. Those who live at the ends of the earth stand in awe of your wonder, where the sun rises to where it sets. You inspire shouts of joy. You take care of the earth and water it, making it rich and fertile. The rivers of God will not run dry. They provide a bountiful harvest of grain, for you have ordered it so. You drench the plowed ground with rain, melting the clods, leveling the ridges. You soften the earth with showers and bless it with abundant crops. You crown the earth with bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathway overflows with abundance. I could go on here, but have you ever thought for a moment, you realize how much we take food for granted? See, you think to yourself, well, food. I bought the food. If I didn't buy the food, there wouldn't be food. No. If God didn't provide the food, put it in the giant refrigerator we call Earth, and it was available for someone to go get, you would have no food to buy. 7 almost billion people on the world, and God provides food for the animals, for the sparrows, for the lions, for the chimpanzees, for the elephants. The Bible says, in fact, in Psalms, that he is ever opening his hand to satisfy the desire of every living thing. And do you want to know the truth? The truth is, if you study, if you read about what's going on in much of the rest of the world, the primary reason, not the only, the primary reason anyone is starving is because of the vile, sickening, pathetic corruption of the governments. Of the terrorists, of the scumbags with the guns. It's not because God did not put food in the ground or provide it, but because of the wretchedness of man. But God answers us with awesome deeds. God comes through for his people. And by the way, let me just be clear, and you don't understand this, the whole world is not his people. The people of God are those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. They are the new nation, the royal priesthood, the people of God's own possession. And they come to God through Christ from every ethnicity in the world. Our ethnicity is not what's important. Our faith in God is. And when we come to know Jesus Christ, we become the royal race of God. And God, one way or another, comes through, has a plan for each one of his children, each one of his people. In Psalm, we find here, in verse chapter 77. I recall all you've done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about them. O God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are a God of miracles and wonders. You demonstrate your awesome deeds to your people. Psalm 78. Which is our psalm, in part, the reason we started the rock. You can go home and read it yourself later. But in this verse, verse 78, it says, they did not keep God's covenant, and they refused to live by his law. They forgot what he had done, the wonderful miracles he had shown them, the miracles he did for their ancestors in Egypt. When he divided the Red Sea, and the water stood up like walls beside them. And he led them by the cloud day and the fire by night. They forgot. How do you forget that? How do you forget that God led 2 million people out of captivity from the most powerful nation in the world and took care of them day and night for 40 years? That he just rained down food on them. How do you forget the army is coming at you in that time? Every bit as powerful in their minds as the Germans of World War II marching down on these 2 million to slaughter them. And God opens this gigantic sea. The walls of water stand up and they walk through on dry land. This is why the Jews celebrate Passover. And the remembrance of what God did. We forget Calvary. We forget what God's done for us. We forget, don't we? We forget. It's just... I have one more passage here to read and then I'll close up. This is Psalm 86 in verse 10. For you are great and perform awesome deeds. You alone are God. You alone are God. God is a doer. He is not merely a talker, a promiser. He always performs his job perfectly. God is the one true. The one true being in all the universe, you can put 100% of your trust. Now I realize there are times you can think, he let me down. I've wrestled with that myself. My goodness, I could tell you, we could stay here a long time. I could tell you many, many stories and the personal wrestlings. But always remember this. Just like I shared with you last week, God answers our prayers. All of them. But sometimes in his wisdom, he answers them differently than we would have anticipated or wanted. Much of the time, God comes through as for me over the years for exactly what I've asked. But many times that exactly what I asked didn't come when I thought it should have come. Because God was building my trust. And God was building my reliance. I want you to think for just a moment of the deeds God's done for you. I don't know if you keep a notebook. I've called it a blessing book before, but another way you can call it is the deeds of God book. It's very, very important in your life, if you're going to walk closely with God and develop your trust, that you, number one, learn about the deeds of God in this book. That you see how time and time again, when the odds were extraordinary, when all of the armies, we're talking at times millions, army, were coming against God's people, Israel, he delivered them, he saved them, he rescued them. How he provided for them. But it's also very, very important that you remember what God has done for you. He's going to answer you with deeds, not just words. He does things. And we need to learn. And I have a couple notebooks of these at home. And I think and reflect on all he has done for me, for his people. I want you to think for a moment across the world. I don't know if you've ever gotten outside of yourself, but we're just one little church in a world that's full of true believers, true churches. Now, not every church is full of people who've accepted Jesus Christ. There's a lot of what we call nominal Christianity or a lot of religiosity. But across the world, of every race of people, there are churches. The word church means called out ones, people who have come out of this world and come to know Jesus Christ. And they gather together in buildings. This building is not the church, you are. Do you know how many of those churches God has just done awesome things for them? They've prayed for things. God's come through with property or buildings or countless thousands of people, millions of people that have come to know Jesus Christ. God is answering. God is working in awesome ways for his people across the globe. Not just for us here, but across the globe. God is doing mighty deeds collectively and individually for you and I. There is story after story in this room of people I know personally who are going through incredibly difficult things, and God came through for them in amazing ways. I wish tonight I could share with you Nate and Maria Howard's story. Nate's here somewhere. I saw him in earlier. And what he went through the last couple years and how God came through, it's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. We have an incredible God. God answers us with awesome deeds. You are the apple of God's eye. He watches you. He guards you. He works all things for good for you. He's never asleep on the job. God always, always is working everything for good in your life. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you tonight. Oh God, we thank you tonight for your love and your faithfulness and your goodness, Lord, and your wisdom. Lord, I have not yet even begun to figure out all, as the scripture says, the mysterious ways in which you work. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom of God. How inscrutable are his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, and who has been the Lord's counselor? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be praise forever and ever and ever and ever. Lord, you have been awesome to me. You have been phenomenal to me. I do not deserve what you have been in my life for 40 years. I do not deserve your goodness and the outpouring of your grace and your deeds. Thank you for them. Build, O God, our trust in you. Might we be people who trust and rely in the living God. In Jesus' name, amen.